Right, Colossians chapter number 1 is where we want to turn in our Bibles. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter number 1, and we looked at the first 8 verses over the last couple of weeks. We've gone through those first 8 verses, and last week we talked a little bit about the fact that the gospel had, according to the Apostle Paul, the gospel had come to the people at Colossae and also into all the world, that it brought forth fruit, as the Word of God does always. And then we learned that they had learned of the gospel from Epaphras, who is a fellow servant of Paul and a faithful minister to them, and how Epaphras declared to Paul the love in the Spirit that the people at Colossae, the Christians there, had. Now we take up in verse number 9, Lord willing, we'll go through verse 14 tonight or sometime very, very soon. We'll start with verse number 9. Let's read down through a few verses, then we'll pray, and we'll get right into it. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Let's pray, and then we'll get right into this here tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for the opportunity to preach your word. Lord, it's a blessing and it's a privilege, and I do thank you for it. Thank you, Lord, that more than the fact that you've given me the opportunity to preach it, Lord, you've given us, all of us, your word in our hands, in a language that we understand. Lord, you've given us of your Holy Spirit to teach us your word. And Lord, I thank you for these things, and I thank you that you've not left us here alone to serve you without a real understanding of what your will is. Thank you that we have your word in our hands. Now, Lord, tonight, would you open that word to us? Would you use me as a mouthpiece on your behalf? Help me to be directed only by you, not by any other spirit, and not by my own spirit, not by my flesh, certainly. Lord, let it be you, your Holy Spirit. Guide me. Help me as I teach your people. Thank you for the wonderful privilege. Lord, help me to be unashamed someday when I give an account for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So we see here the apostle's prayer. As he began the epistle here with the first 8 verses, kind of introducing himself and how he learned of them, and they had heard the gospel and all of that. Now he reveals to them that he had been praying for them. It's a good thing for us to talk about on a night where we gather together pray, isn't it? By the way, what we're about to see in these next verses is a great template that we can use for prayer when we want to know how to pray for people, especially our fellow Christians, and also the new converts that we might have, and our children. What we're going to read about here is a great template for how we can pray for them. And the apostle mentions how he was praying for these people at Colossae, by the way, that he had never met face-to-face, that he had just heard about from Epaphras. And here's what he says. First of all, in verse number 9, we learn that this was an unceasing prayer. He says, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire. This was an unceasing prayer. It teaches us a little bit about how our prayer life ought to be, right? That it's a continual thing. Don't just pray once and give up. Continue to pray and seek God's face. But his was an unceasing prayer. And what did he pray for? Well, first of all, he prayed that they would be filled with the knowledge of his will. He says, and a desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. He wanted them to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Isn't that a good thing, by the way, for us to pray for? It's a wonderful thing for us to pray for one another. Let me encourage you to look around to the people around you, and not just, as I try to mention to you every once in a while, don't just come to church with the attitude like so many Christians do of,
Well, I'm here, and now, Pastor, bless me. And then as soon as the service is done, I'm out. That's not why we come to church. We come to church, yes, we'll be blessed, and yes, we want to be challenged by God's word. But let me encourage you, as I try to do all the time, that listen, if the only challenging you're getting from God's word is from this pulpit here, you're going to be pretty anemic. And I don't care who your pastor is. I don't care if your pastor is, you know, the best pastor ever outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, if the only food spiritually and challenging you're getting is what you get from this pulpit, you're going to be anemic. You need more than that. You need to be walking with God on a daily basis. You need to be reading God's word. You need to have the Holy Spirit speak to you on a daily basis. And he will if you'll allow him to. But one of the things that we ought to be praying for, doing when we come to church is not just hearing the preaching of God's word. We ought to be thinking about the people around us and listen, what are their spiritual needs? How can I help them? How can I be a blessing to them and help them in their walk with God? And I want to encourage you to do that, to look around in the church and find somebody that you can bless, that you can help. Maybe even something that would be good is to get out of your friend group. Get out of the clique that you're a part of and find people not just that you like, but people that need something. And walk with them a little bit and talk with them and find out what their needs are. And then let me encourage you that when you find out what their needs are, pray for them. And here's one thing that you can pray for them about. God, would you fill my brother in Christ, brother so-and-so? Would you fill him with the knowledge of your will? Lord, show him and reveal to him or reveal to her exactly what you have and what you plan for their life. That would be a great thing for you and me to pray for one another. But he mentions that in this praying for the being filled with the knowledge of his will, that is in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You know that that's what will help us to know the will of God, is when God gives us wisdom and spiritual understanding. We need wisdom from God. Do you remember what the Bible says about wisdom and how to get it? You remember that in James chapter number 1, we're told that if any of us lack wisdom, what are we to do? Let him ask of God. We're to pray for wisdom. By the way, God gives it unsparingly, doesn't he? The wording that God uses in his word is liberally. That means it is abundant. It's like a liberal with your tax dollars, right? They are happy to give it, okay? As long as it's your tax dollars and not theirs, they're happy to give it, okay? By the way, that's the way God is with wisdom. He's happy to give it. By the way, it's his. Unlike the liberal who gives your tax dollars, God's giving what belongs to him. And he gives it liberally. He doesn't upbraid, right? So, boy, we need wisdom. But I love what else it says. It says not only in all wisdom, but in all spiritual understanding. Do you know that the will of God is not just based on logic? You cannot solely determine the will of God by logic. And so many times as Christians, we are tempted, and this guy behind the pulpit is probably the first one to be tempted and fail at the test a lot of times too, that when I look for the will of God and when I try to determine it, it's so easy for me, so easy for all of us to look at it based on what makes sense. Well, I mean, God would never want me to do this. This would never be God's will. I mean, it just doesn't make sense that God would call me in this direction, or God would desire that I would do X or whatever. But Paul said that as he prayed for them, he prayed for them that they would be filled with the knowledge of his will in a wisdom and spiritual understanding. Because it takes spiritual understanding to know the will of God. It's something that is spiritually understood. And when we find the will of God, we have to submit to his will and say, this may not make any sense to me, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm reminded of a man in the Old Testament. Maybe you've heard of him, Abraham. Some of you look like you've never heard of him before. Abraham. Did it make sense when God told him to leave Ur of the Chaldees? To leave his father's house? By the way, they didn't live in a culture like we do, where people would leave and go live across the country. That didn't happen in his days. They stayed in one place, and generations lived in one area and were buried there and born there and died there and all the rest, right? Did it make sense for God to call him? Well, no, but he obeyed. Did it make sense when God said, here's what I want you to do. You just wait and stay with Sarah, and eventually, at a very old age, you're going to give birth to, or she's going to give birth to a child. And I realize that's not exactly how God said it, but that was his will. Didn't make a whole lot of sense. Didn't make sense when that child later on would be, Abraham would be called upon to take that child up to a mountain to give him as a sacrifice there. That didn't make any sense. But Abraham trusted not in what was logical, but what God's will was. And that's what you and I need to do. In order to do that, what are we going to need? Spiritual understanding. And if we're going to have spiritual understanding, you know what we need? We need one another to pray for one another. I need you to pray for me. You need me to pray for you. That we would have spiritual understanding. We have some people in our church, even now, that are wondering, what is the next step and what is God's will for my life regarding this area or that area, a calling or a decision that has to be made. And you know what they need? They need spiritual understanding. Could we maybe pray for them a little bit on that? Lord, give them understanding. Help them to look beyond logic to see what your will is. That's what Paul was praying for the Colossian Christians. Look with me at Romans chapter 12. As always, keep your place in Colossians 1. But look at Romans chapter 12. I'm reminded of this often as I think of this kind of section of Scripture and think about the will of God. Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Christians, can I encourage you tonight to present your bodies a living sacrifice? And you understand a living sacrifice and what it is. Living sacrifice is one that's not dead, it's alive, but it acts as if it's dead. It has no will of its own. It's on the altar. The owner of the sacrifice gets to do with it whatever he wants, and yet it's not dead, it's alive, but it acts like a sacrifice. You and I should present our bodies a living sacrifice. Why? Well, because according to the end of the verse, it's our reasonable service. You know that God's not asking anything unusual of you when he calls you to do something difficult, when he calls on you to be uncomfortable, when he calls on you to do that which is not fun and exciting and maybe not exactly what you would want to do. You know that God's not impressed by the sob story that we would give him. It's our reasonable service that we would give this to him because of all that he did for us. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Isn't that interesting how in Romans, when he talks about doing the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, and by the way, his will is always good, it's always acceptable, and it's always perfect. That is his will. Those three descriptors are of his will. But isn't it interesting that when he mentions that, before he does that, he says that you and I need something to happen to our mind. What is that that needs to happen to our mind if we're going to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? It must be renewed. That goes back to, and it matches almost perfectly with what he said in Colossians when he said, I pray for you that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Again, it's not logical. And if you're going to find out the will of God, you need a new mind. You can't think like the world does. You need God to renew your mind. Where does our mind get renewed? What tool do we have at our disposal that will renew our mind? This book right here. Friends, this is the tool that God gives to us to renew our mind. Every day we need to get a reset. We're like a computer that needs a reboot. Every day. And many times a day, by the way. And it's in this book. And our mind will begin to think biblically and godly as we change it into the image of Jesus Christ by reading God's word with an attitude of obedience to God's word. So at that point, when we do that, then we're helped along in our desire, in our walk with him to fulfill his will. Verse 3, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another, with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate." Now notice this last phrase. "Be not wise in your own conceits." That whole passage of Scripture, all about God's will in Romans 12, it begins with a need for us to have a renewed mind in order to fulfill God's will. And then it goes through a list, many things that we can do as we are gifted by the Holy Spirit to do them. And whatever we do for the Lord, we ought to do with all of our might. And then at the end it says, by the way, be not wise in your own conceits. It's not about me and what I can think about, what I can do in my own mind and my own strength. It's about God's will. And in order to have God's will, I'm going to need to have spiritual understanding. Let's go back to Colossians chapter 1. As he prayed for them to have spiritual understanding and the knowledge of his will, he then goes on to talk about in verses 10 and 11, something that they would then be able to do once they had the knowledge of his will and were filled with all of that wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse number 10 of Colossians 1, "That ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." He's praying for them that they could be filled with this, that they might walk worthy of the Lord. Tonight, if we were to judge your life or mine, could we judge your life or mine by this descriptor, that brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so or pastor wise, their life can be categorized by this phrase, they walked worthy of the Lord. Shouldn't that be our goal? That in everything we would walk worthy of the Lord. That as we carry his name Christian, listen, it fits. That it's an apt phrase, or an apt word, I should say, to describe us, that we are like Christ. Today, I was in the middle of something that my son and I, Caleb, were taking care of, and I won't go into details about it, but we were out and about, and we're confronted by a problem. And as is my MO many times when I'm confronted by a problem in public, is I get frustrated. I know none of you do, but I do. And, you know, it wasn't an ugly scene or anything like that. I don't want to give you the wrong idea. I mean, it was totally normal, and most people wouldn't probably even think about it. But as a Christian, I thought to myself afterwards, you know what? I was a bad testimony showing the frustration I had. That's not, and I didn't think of this phrase, but that's not walking worthy of the Lord. The Lord Jesus, if he were in that same situation that I was, would not have been frustrated, or if he was frustrated, he wouldn't have shown the frustration as I did. You know, many times we walk in this life and we don't walk worthy of the Lord. Why is that? Well, because a lot of times we're not filled with the knowledge of his will. We don't have wisdom and spiritual understanding. But God wants us to walk worthy of the Lord. And then what does it say after that? Unto all, what's the next word? Walk worthy of the Lord unto all. Somebody help me out. Pleasing. Unto all pleasing. Okay, now here's a quiz. How do we please the Lord? What one word is essential if we're going to please God? Faith. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We need faith in order to please God. Well, that goes back to his will, knowing his will and understanding his will and doing his will and obeying him in that. You know what all that requires? It requires faith. And if we'll exercise that faith, you know what God is? He's pleased. As we know his will and we do his will. Unto all pleasing. And then what does he say after that in verse number 10? He says, being fruitful in every good work. That will happen as we're filled with the knowledge of his will, as we have that wisdom and spiritual understanding. What is the result of that? Well, we will then be fruitful. We will bear fruit, but only when we understand his will and when we obey it and when we do his will. Turn with me, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30. A few of us were outside talking about this on Sunday night. We're mentioning this verse and what it means. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30. Being fruitful in every good work. Proverbs 11 and verse 30. Notice what the Word of God says there. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. So first of all, if you want to be considered a wise person, one of the areas you want to work on is be a testimony, be a witness. Be a winner of souls. Be someone who shares the gospel. You know what God will categorize you as? If you are following that in all honesty and righteousness and holiness, he'll categorize you as wise. But I would have you notice the first part where it says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. What is a tree of life? If I walked up to a tree and it had a sign on it, and it said, tree of life, and there was a fruit there that was hanging on it, and I wanted to eat that fruit, what could I expect that I could get from that fruit if the tree was called the tree of life? I could expect that that fruit would give me life. That there would be something there that would give life, because it's the tree of life. If it's a tree that has apples and I can pull apples off of it, what is it called? It's an apple tree. Some of you were about to say a tree of apples. We don't call it that. It's an apple tree, okay? But a peach tree would be a tree that has peaches on it. So when the Bible says that the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, what does that mean? That means that when I am fruitful in my life as a Christian, when I am a righteous man, the fruit that I will have is it's as if I am a tree and hanging from all over me is fruit that when people come up to it, it gives them life. That I am a source of life to this lost and dying world. That means that the only thing that I know of in this world that gives life is the Word of God. The Holy Spirit using the Word of God. That means that if I am a person who is wise and if I'm a person who is fruitful, that means that as people come to me, what are they going to find there? The Word of God. They're going to find help from the Word of God. They're going to find me talking about the things of God and the Word of God and how to know God better and all of that. Well, that all goes back to Colossians where he says, listen, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you that you're going to be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That, listen, I'm praying for you that you would walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, and that you would be fruitful in every good work, that as you go out into this world, your life would be that tree of life to others, and that it would bear fruit. He's praying for them on that. Now, we're going to stop there for tonight because we need to break so that we can pray and the ladies can go to Ladies Missions Fellowship. But let me encourage you on this. Listen, we're just halfway through his prayer. These are things that you and I can pray for as we pray for one another. Parents, you can pray for your kids. Lord, would you help them to be filled with the knowledge of your will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding? Lord, would you help them to be fruitful unto every good work? Lord, would you help them to walk worthy of you unto all pleasing? Lord, would you help them in this area and give this to them? We got to be praying for our children in that area. By the way, whether they're adults or young, we can pray for them in that area. And we can pray for one another, and God will hear our prayer. Let's go to him right now in prayer and ask his blessing on the word as it was given. Dear Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word to your people. Now, Lord, I ask that you would fill all of us with the knowledge of your will. Lord, help us to walk worthy of you unto all pleasing. Help us, Lord, to be fruitful in every good work. Lord, help us to pray for one another in these areas. Thank you for the book of Colossians. Now, would you have your hand of blessing on the Ladies Missions Fellowship, on us as we, the men, as we stay up here and we pray? I ask that you would do that in Jesus' name. Amen.